Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon Central Time, and there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to the show. Glad to have you tuned in to today's Connecting Faith. I always appreciate the opportunity to get together with you, and I'm very excited to welcome back a guest who's been on, well, I would say maybe not frequently, but every time we visit with Mary Hunter, I always have such a good discussion. I'm just a big fan of her regular column and her writings, and she's done both, award-winning and best-selling author Mary Hunt. Is with us today, syndicated columnist, sought-after speaker, helps men and women battle the epidemic of consumer debt. And she's founder and publisher of the interactive website Debt Proof Living, which features financial tools, resources, and information for her online members. And her books have sold more than a million copies. Your daily newspaper column, Everyday Cheapskate, nationally syndicated all around the country. And she's authored dozens of books. In fact, the one that we're going to reference today, just been newly updated, Debt Proof Living, How to Get Out of Debt and Stay That Way. And I think this first came out, well, I guess we'll find out from Mary how many years ago it was. But we're going to talk today about finances, about money, about, you know, ways to save money, also get some great tips as well. And it may be that you have if you're maybe a regular reader to Mary's column, or you have a particular tip that you've read or that she shared that you've really appreciated, you can certainly give us a call and let us know. And we do have a couple copies of Debt Proof Living. We'll give away the updated version. So if you'd like to at least sign up for that and get in the drawing, you can do that at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. And I'd love to have you call and join in the broadcast as well. And we'll talk about 7 money rules for life and how to take control of your financial future, all those things. Mary Hunt, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Oh, thank you, Neil. Great to be with you.
So the original Debt Proof Living came out, what, is it, a dozen years ago or so? Or was it
1999.
Okay. Nothing's changed since then, really, right?
So. Well, the fundamentals have not changed. You know, it's like God's word. It's like truth. Some things just never change. But the way we deliver it and things, for instance, resources, websites.
Yeah.
1999, the internet wasn't as prolific as it is right now. And so, you know, bringing the book up to the 2014 accepted standards, just a new cover,
yeah.
Things like that, you know. So I like to think of it as our 15-year anniversary edition.
Okay. All right. We'll go with that. That sounds good. And you've learned a lot of things over those years since you've been doing this. And I know we've told your story, a couple of times about, you know, getting into debt and out of it, and out of that, just developing this, the website and the writing. But I am interested, and we'll, you know, maybe unpack that as we go along a little bit. But since we're right in the early part of August, and moms and dads are probably thinking a little bit about back to school stuff, I thought we'd maybe start with a little bit about that. If there's some ways that we can save money on school supplies or kids' clothes, some of those things. Anything that's fresh in your mind about that today?
Oh, absolutely. Where do we start? You'll have to make me be quiet,
because okay.
I could go on and on, because it's right on the front of everyone's mind right now, kids going back to school. And it is amazing to me when I look at the statistics and surveys what people plan to spend on their kids, outfitting them and getting ready for back to school. It's mind-boggling. I mean, the numbers rival Christmas, which I find to be a little bit over the top. So I like to encourage parents to, you know, pull back a little bit. Let's think about this. You don't need to purchase an entire year's worth of clothing for your children to go back to school. That doesn't make sense. There's going to be all kinds of sales between now and next spring. Kids like new things as the year goes along. So I say get maybe one or two outfits for the start of school. That's enough. And a new pair of shoes, for sure. Every kid needs a new pair of shoes, but not a dozen pair. And as you're looking for new clothes, now let's get smart, people. Have you heard of consignment stores? They're popping up all over the place for children, even up through teenagers, the sizes. Modern-day consignment shops feature gently worn or previously owned clothing, most of the time in excellent condition, name brands. There's even a fabulous website now that's online. Believe it or not, it is a consignment shop online. It's going to blow your socks off. Let me give you the website. It's ThreadUp.com, but it's spelled a little differently. So let me tell you, it's ThreadUp. You're going to spell thread incorrectly. It's ThreadUp.com. I'm telling you, if you can't outfit your kids for about 10% of what you would spend new, including shipping, I'd be really surprised.
Wow, that's great. ThreadUp.com. That's a great tip. I was wondering, Mary, if this is since we're in this mode and we're doing some shopping, this is probably not a bad time to maybe review some of the principles for spending and saving and more with our kids, right?
Absolutely. You need to start out with a budget. Of course, you've got to know what you can spend. You're not going to go into debt. You know, we have to stop thinking of credit card limits as a way to handle expenses because we don't have enough money. That's not a good thing. So, how much do you have to spend? Is it $50 or is it $5,000? Whatever it is, that's all you have to spend. For your older children, let me give you a tip. You will save yourself so many heartaches, especially your preteen and teenage daughters. If you sit down with them and have a friendly conversation, this is what we have to spend. Here it is, honey. You know, we've got $100 to spend for your back-to-school clothes. We're going to put you in charge. We're going to put this money into an envelope. Now, we're going to go with you to get you started and help you to see these things, but ultimately you're going to make the decision. Do you want to have one pair of jeans for the entire school year here? Or do you want to use the $100 to buy several things? Or maybe it's $25. Look what we could do at the consignment shop. Get the kid involved. Let them help to make the decisions. Let them carry the money for a responsible child. You can't believe how this is going to change everything.
Is it, you know, when you were in the process of getting out of debt after having gotten in it, I don't remember how old your kids were at the time, but did you engage them in the process too and say, this is the way we're doing life here at our house?
Yeah, well, in a way, let me tell you that when this happened back in 1982, which now we're giving ourselves away here date-wise, but the boys were 6 and 7 years old. And I'll tell you, Neil, this was such a traumatic time in my life. My biggest fear through all of this was not for myself and my husband. It was for my kids. Because what damage I had done to them, they were already displaying signs of more was never enough, never being satisfied, always being entitled to more and more and more. So it was in our journey out of financial devastation that we decided we needed to have a plan that would prepare our kids for the future, to turn out financially responsible kids. It was a journey. It didn't happen all at the same time. But I can tell you that early on, and it was when our older son started grade 6, which was, you know, very close there. He was 7 at the time, so I think he was about 10. We had made a bit of a journey, you know, some mistakes, but still we had been going the right direction and making some pretty good progress. Was when we instituted what we called the Hunt Kid Financial Plan, which has turned into a book. And that is the subject of raising financially responsible kids, which is the whole story of this, putting them in charge, making them official money managers in our home where they were required to manage a certain amount of money, which I'll be honest and, you know, tell everyone the secret right here, it was the money we were going to spend on it anyway. It was the back-to-school money. It was the money for school lunches and the things that they, their needs, their stickers, their, you know, the stuff that they needed as kids. But we used that as a learning tool. And I got to tell you something. It'll change your whole life if you bring your kids into participation where they are making some decisions but then required to live with the consequences.
Because that's the one area that we can't get around, can we? When it comes to money, there are consequences to the way we spend it. Yeah.
You know, and I want parents to realize if you're not willing to allow them to make some decisions while they're still under the safety net of your home and your financial support and all, someone else is going to trust them when they go off to school, college. It's Visa and MasterCard are going to trust them with an awful lot of money. And if they have not made good decisions and learned how to do that, they're going to land flat on their faces in debt before they even get to the second semester of college. It's scary. So you better start training them now. And I can't think of a better time than right now with back to school. Even if you're putting them in charge of $5 or $10 to purchase their school supplies, get them involved in making the decisions, shopping the sales, looking for comparisons, showing them, introducing them to something called the dollar store, the office supply store. Right now, there are tremendous sales going on for back-to-school supplies because those people think if they can get you in there, you'll go ahead and buy a new computer while you're there.
Yeah, that, well, that's true. I mean, it's all about lost leaders now, isn't it? I mean, in terms, sales, nothing wrong with sales. You just need to realize that not everything's on sale.
That's right. You got to think like a marketer.
Yeah. I'm curious, do we all have a natural tendency when it comes to spending, or is this all learned from our parents or our environment or, you know, marketers?
You know, I have some theories on that, and there's been some good studies to back it up. But I think that it's temperament. Everyone is born with a personality and also a temperament. And let me just describe that. I think everyone, basically, when it comes right down to it, is either a born spender or a born saver. I think it's in our genes. I think it's in our personality, our temperament. By way of example, my husband and I am a born spender. He is a born saver. But that doesn't mean that I am constantly spending or that he is constantly saving, or that he's got huge $1 million savings accounts, and I spend everything before I get it. I have that tendency, and he and I can look at the same sale. Let's say it's a 50% off sale. My born first response in my heart is, great, I can get twice as much. His, on the other hand, is, great, I only have to spend half as much. So it's the way we kind of naturally look at things. But I want to quickly assure people that our temperaments, we can change. That has to do with behavior. It has to do with attitude. I am a born spender, but I've made an awful lot of changes over the years because I've become smarter and I know myself and I've put into practice behavior changes, and it can be done. And thank God for that. I'm not the person I used to be, but in a way I still am. But I have just learned how to manage my temperament and to see a bigger picture.
Which is why Mary's writing is so helpful, because she helps us in that step-by-step process of learning how to realign our thinking and our behavior when it comes to money and debt and being sound financially. Debt-Proof Living, How to Get Out of Debt and Stay That Way is the title of Mary's updated book. It came out first in the late 90s, and we got a couple of copies of that and love to give you one as well. You want to join the broadcast, give us a call, 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Mary Hunt, award-winning, best-selling author, syndicated columnist, is with us today, and we're talking money and saving money and some wonderful ideas. In fact, one of the great things about Mary's column is that she has wonderful tips, many that come in from readers, but she has discovered a number of them as well. And so coming up right after this break, we'll get one of her favorite maybe money-saving tips, and we're going to talk about some favorite products as well, but we'll do that throughout the course of the hour. And you might have one that you'd like to add to the conversation. We'd love to have you join in. 877-933-2484. More with Mary Hunt in a moment. Past the hour, talking to Mary Hunt today, back to join us on Connecting Faith as we talk about some of the issues of getting out of debt, staying that way, some rules for life, taking control of your financial future, all these things that can weigh us down and get us hung up so often. Mary's written about them. She's lived them for a number of years and has written a number of books as well as her regular syndicated column. And you can find out more about her online at debtproofliving.com or even checking out the daily blog, everydaycheapskate.com. And Mary, I guess I want to go on and talk about some other things, but I said, you know, before the break, let's talk about maybe a favorite money-saving idea or a favorite product, or maybe a home remedy. Let's take the money-saving idea first. Is there one that just kind of comes to mind that maybe you've heard from listeners or that you've just used over the years and say, this really makes such a difference?
Yeah, I do. It's called the $1 bill trick. Make a decision. I mean, this has to be a really strong, unbending decision that you will stop spending $1 bills. You just won't spend them anymore. You save them. No matter how many, if you got four in your wallet, one, at the end of the day, take out every $1 bill and stash it into a safe place. Do that every day until you have accumulated 100 $1 bills. It could take you a while. That's okay. It's just your new rule of life. When you reach the $100 point, you're going to move it up, you're going to change it up, and start saving $5 bills the same way. You cannot believe how this habit will become ingrained in your life. You will find yourself, I know because I've done it, to finding ways not to spend money just so that you can save your dollars. And it will really change. You know, share this with your kids. With your kids, maybe they don't spend quarters anymore or something like that. It's just such an easy way to turn your heart and your mind towards saving.
Which, of course, you know, we hear it all the time, but saving is, you know, just because we're spending doesn't mean we can't be saving, right?
Absolutely. Just make it a rule. You know, you've got to kind of parent yourself here. It's an unbending rule that you do not spend $1 bills anymore.
Great tip. We've got more. You'd like to join in. You maybe have one as well or have a question about ways to get out of debt and stay that way. Talking money today with Mary Hunt. 877-93-FAITH is the phone number. Mary, one of the things that you talk about a lot is the idea of sort of planning for the expenses that don't come monthly. I mean, some of us think, well, look, I'm paying my monthly bills, so I'm okay, right?
Yeah, you know, I really think that that is at the heart and soul of the whole reason so many people have fallen into debt. Because what we do, it's tendency. I know I did this. You know, you add up your monthly expenses, deduct them from your monthly income, and it looks fabulous. Wow, I've got money left at the end of the month. And so you've got this mindset that I can spend. I have, you know, I can be free and easy with the money. The problem is that we are lying to ourselves when we make that addition and subtraction. The thing is that not all of our expenses happen every single month. Take, for instance, if you own a car, just because you don't have to put new tires on the car this month doesn't mean you never will have to. But we engage in what I call selective amnesia. We try to kind of forget about it. We forget that Christmas is going to be here quite soon. We forget that summer vacation. We forget about the life insurance premium that comes twice a year. Those kinds of things. And so there's a way to remedy that. And it's funny you'd bring that up, Neil, because in my column today, today's post, which anybody can find at everydaycheapskate.com, it's about this very thing. And the title is Anticipate Your Way to Freedom, because anticipation is the secret here. Anticipating those things that are coming along, making provision for them this month, and you know, give up fooling ourselves that those things are never going to happen again, or that just because we've got a little money left over this month, we should, you know, get a new car or put in a pool or whatever other kind of thing we can use, make a down payment to get us further into debt. That just doesn't make sense. So, yeah, anticipation is really the key to becoming financially mature.
Well, I suppose there's some things that we probably can't anticipate, right? I mean, we know that we'll need brakes on the car, for example, or the kids maybe need braces. But there's other things. I mean, the water heater goes out or something. I mean, should we be anticipating those things as well?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, think about it. Water heaters, if you do any kind of search, or home appliances, are not made the way they used to be. I mean, my parents had a refrigerator, I think, lasted for 45 years. It doesn't work anymore. It's called built-in obsolescence, and we just have to believe it. Appliances are purposely not made to last forever. First of all, they become more energy efficient as the years go on, and so those who make appliances want to make sure that we're going to be replacing them. It just, you know, we just have to believe this. You need to have a household account, and I teach you how to do this. Look at today's post. I'll give you a quick overview. It's also part of Debt Proof Living book because this is so important. But it's a matter of putting away $5 a month. I mean, anybody can do this, $10 a month. You know your refrigerator, your appliances are going to go out. So you have a household appliance replacement fund. You know, it builds slowly over the years because things don't all go out at once. But it will be there when something happens, and this puts you into a much better position where you can search for the best sale, not the place that will take your credit card. I think if most people are honest, they'll say the way that my credit card debt began to build were emergencies. And we somehow placate ourselves by saying, well, that's why we have credit cards, isn't it, just in case of emergency. Well, hello, folks. No, that is not the reason we should have them, because you are going to have emergencies. You know, you are going to have a child have to rush to the emergency room. Just believe me. Make sure you have your deductible set aside somewhere so this does not hit you out of left field where you've got to put it onto a credit card. We have to just get a little bit smarter, more realistic, and stop seeing credit cards as the way that we're going to handle emergencies in our lives.
That kind of ties in with Ron's question. He's listening in Minneapolis. Ron, go ahead. You're on with Mary Hott. What's your question?
I was wondering how much money you should put away for, let's say, we know a furnace install is about $6,000. And I guess I can do the math myself because they tend to, our furnace is 12 years old, and we've had regular maintenance. We probably pay a little over a couple hundred dollars. No, about $300 a year for maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy says that the furnace, it's the thermal coupler mm-hmm. that might crack. And when it cracks, then the whole game is up. And he said that ours is showing no sign of it. So you need a new furnace new furnace every 12 years, maybe 15. A car every 7 years, we'll say.
So how much do we set aside, I guess, and what does that look like?
Oh, well, Ron, you are a smart man. You've answered your own question. You would just need to take this a few more sentences, and let's say that a furnace has to be replaced every, 15 years, and it runs $6,000? So you take $6,000 and you divide by 15. That's how much you need to be setting aside per year. Divide that by 12, or how many paychecks you have in a year. This is the responsible thing to do. Now, it might come up to $20. It might come up to $15. Well, you set up, and I teach you how to do this, to set up a freedom account. Now, for some people, this is now overwhelming them because the very thought of needing to do this when living so close to the edge. So we have to work our way into this. I mean, we have to start small. So I would suggest, Ron, that you pick that item that is going to hit you the soonest. Is it going to be replacing your car? Will you be able to get a few more years out of your car rather than replacing it just because you want to drive something newer? You know, all of a sudden, it brings a whole mindset to us that, well, I could get a few more years out of that clunker. You know, I don't mind driving it for 12 or 15 years. They're making cars better these days. Where appliances last fewer years, cars are lasting longer. So we take advantage of that. But your furnace, it sounds to me like this might be the most urgent thing in your future. I'd get busy right away. I'd get my Freedom account set up, which you can learn more about that in today's post, actually, at everydaycheapskate.com. And even if you haven't set aside the entire $6,000 by the time that thing gives up the ghost, you will have a certain amount of it so that you don't have to put all of it on credit. You might be able to pull those funds from another area in your life in order to replace that furnace. But well, at least
Mary,
it's not
let me just jump in here because we've got a hard break coming up. But let's pick up the conversation in just a moment with Mary Hunt talking debt-proof living. And we'll get to more and your questions just ahead. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH.
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million, well, I'd buy.
I'm not sure what I'd do with $1 million. We could ask Mary. So that might be the first thing. We're talking with the best-selling author and columnist Mary Hunt from Debt Proof Living. You can find out more about all the resources that she has available at debtproofliving.com, or if you can go to her blog that she does every day. It's everydaycheapskate.com. The book we're talking about, Debt Proof Living, How to Get Out and Stay Out of Debt and Stay That Way. It's been updated from Revell. First came out in, I think, 99. And so we've got a couple of new updated versions of that to give away. And love to have you join the conversation today at 877-933-2484. Mary, we're talking a little bit about just reacting to Ron's question about how much to put away. And you mentioned that Freedom account. And as you said, even if we don't have it all there, at least having something is going to make such a difference, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it gives you power. You're not at the mercy now of anybody who will give you the credit to put that new furnace in. And I'll tell you something else. It changes your attitude to the point where you're willing to keep something going longer through repairs or, you know, not jumping at replacing it quite so quickly, because in your heart you know, oh, if I only had one more year to save, I'd have the money. And so a thermocouple maybe can be, I don't know, I'm not a gas and plumbing person, but I know that sometimes parts can be replaced without having to do the entire thing.
Yeah. You know, speaking of, we're thinking about cars, I guess, oftentimes, and I know that in the book, I'd sort of forgotten the story in Debt Proof Living, but you talk about the years of the El Camino. And there's some of us that still remember what a fine car that was. But that was a little different from what you'd experienced before, right?
Yeah, real quickly, I'll just tell you that for years in my pre-days, my dark financial days, when we were making an awful lot of money and I was driving brand new cars, like I always had a new car, a Cadillac or a BMW or a Mercedes or something else. This was before my whole life just fell apart. And because of the debt we were in, well, you know, getting off that leasing new car treadmill is not easy, but we made a decision. My husband and I, we would both give up our leased cars, and we would share one car that we could buy with the cash that we had available, which was $4,000. And you're right. The best car we could find was an El Camino pickup truck that had been used by owned by a contractor. And I hated it, Ron. It was just, oh. But you know what? I changed my attitude and realized that a paid-for car, where now we were able to save money, put money aside in anticipation of buying outright, paying cash for a car. You know, the longer we drove the El Camino, the better it felt to have a paid-for car and saving and having money in the bank. Well, as you might guess, we started fixing that car up. We put a new interior in it. We put a new engine in it. We put new tires and rims. It started looking pretty spiffy, even for an El Camino. Well, guess what? It was a classic. It was stolen. And we lost that car. It was stripped down to nothing, and we took the insurance money. Now, this was back, I don't know if you remember, but it was 2002, 12 years ago. We took the insurance money plus the money we had, and we bought a new, guess what, pickup. Okay. A new Chevy black pickup truck. Well, guess what? 12 years later, we still have it. We still share that one vehicle. We never did get a second car, which was our plan, was that we were going to get a second. But we have managed over the years to figure out how to do it with one car. It's been paid for all these years, and we've been able to save so much money. And, Ron, here's the latest. Just last week, we took that truck in and got it repainted. It looks like a brand-new 2002 Chevy pickup, and it's a black Silverado, which is pretty popular. And I, you know what? I don't really care that it's not a new BMW. It's paid for. And it's almost a symbol of the fact that I've changed. I've changed from being a spendthrift to being a pretty financially confident woman here.
You know, Mary, you talk about just that change, but that it starts with the attitude, right? And maybe talk about that, the overcoming the attitude discouragement when we're trying to get out of debt, because that is a big deal.
It is a big deal, and it's a whole chapter in the book. It all starts. You have to debt-proof your attitude. You have to stop thinking, oh, what will people think? Or I get this message. In fact, I'm looking at my Facebook page right now at Debt Proof Living on Facebook. You know, people say, I'll be in debt forever. I will never make enough money to be able to pay more than my minimum payment every month on these credit cards. And, you know, that's a message telling yourself that is so defeatist. I'm telling anybody who's listening to me right now, you can change that attitude. You can change your life. I can help you do this, even if all you can make is your minimum payment on your credit card every month. If you will do one thing and that's stop adding to it, I can get you out of debt. I will teach you how to do this. 36 months is not unreasonable. We can do this. But you have to change your attitude. You have to stop feeling entitled. to having new things, to going out to dinner 3 times a week, to having your kids have this or that, or all of these things that people throw up. Well, I can't give up that. Well, I could never work more hours. Well, I could never get a second job. Well, we got to change your attitude. If you're willing to change your attitude, you can change your life.
Well, so maybe we should talk about that, Mary. What does debt-proof living really mean? I mean, what are the benefits of, I guess, how do we define what debt-proof living is?
Well, I've defined it. Debt-proof living is, it means living without being reliant on consumer debt. Now, I was very careful to say debt, not credit. Debt. See, credit cards are not evil. Credit cards are like power tools. They're like other things. You know, they're like medication. I mean, used irresponsibly, we can abuse anything. You know, you can cut off your leg if you don't know how to use a power tool. You can become a hopelessly addicted drug addict if you are not knowing how to use medications properly. So that's what credit is. See, so many people have abused credit, and the result is consumer debt. So it's without relying on debt, without thinking that the credit limits that I have are mine to use if I don't have enough money, because that turns into consumer debt. And that is just where it has to start. So debt-proof living is a way of living, a way of managing money, a way of taking care of the resources that God sends into our lives in such a way that we do not become reliant on consumer debt. Now, that changes everything. And I truly believe that God is looking for good money managers. He calls them stewards, stewards of what he has. It's all his. We're just managers. And I can promise you, people, that if you will learn to become a good money manager of the resources that you've been given to manage, you're going to be asked to manage more and more. And you just mentioned, what would we do with $1 million? Let me tell you something. God may want you to manage $1 million, but if you are not really good at managing $25,000 a year, I doubt if that day is ever going to come, because you will blow $1 million faster than you've blown the $25,000. See, it has to be a change in our attitude and our abilities to be able to manage money.
Getting wise advice as always from Mary Hunt. She's back on Connecting Faith, and appreciate the opportunity to talk about debt-proof living, how to get out of debt and stay that way, plus great tips as well. And want to ask Mary if she's got a great tip. In fact, I want to talk about a favorite product, because in the newspaper column, which I read regularly, and you can read her blog at everydaycheapskate.com or go to her website, debtproofliving.com. But Mary always comes up with great ideas, and one of the things you've been talking about recently is favorite products. And I want to hear a bit more about this particular product that you've become a big fan of.
Yeah. You know, I'm a big fan, first of all, of making my own products. I'd rather not pay for things that I can make myself, which I can do a lot of household cleaning without buying commercial products. But there are some times when the challenge is way beyond something I can make myself, and one of those has to do with things that have gotten stinky. And I'm talking, you know, I'm thinking back to an antique dresser that I had years and years ago that, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but that awful, moldy, horrible smell.
Musty.
I mean, this thing was so bad it could not reside in the same house I was living in. So it came down to either throwing it away, dumping it, or finding a way to fix it. And I came across a product that has pretty much changed the lives of many people, because we've been able to restore and rescue so many things that were otherwise hopeless. It's a commercial product, and it's called Knockout, and it's spelled like this, N-O-K, and then a new word, O-U-T. And you can find it at knockout.com without a space, just N-O-K-O-U-T.com. Now, here's what's so remarkable about it. It's absolutely non-toxic. It is also anti-germicide, which means antibacterial, antiviral. They use this stuff in hospitals and in places that they need to keep germ-free. But it is like clear water. It is not toxic at all. It won't harm anybody. It has no odor, no perfume, no color. It's like a miracle product. And you can save moldy books, you know, things like that. Furniture that has become hopelessly stained. How about carpet that has pet stains and smells in it? You know, you can work on that all day long with vinegar, but it isn't going to work. If it has penetrated, there's nothing like knockout. So while knockout is not really cheap and you have to get it online, I'll tell you something, it's a product every household needs because it's going to save you so much money in the long run. And I'll give you a bonus. If you use the coupon code DPL, which stands for Debt Proof Living, DPL, you'll get 10% off. And that does help. It'll help at least cover the shipping.
Sure. All right. It's a great tip, as always. We've got some more tips coming up in a couple minutes from Mary Hunt joining us today. We're talking a little bit about home remedies and cleaning and some things. And she mentioned vinegar. We'll talk about other things that we can do with vinegar and more coming up in a moment as we talk with award-winning and best-selling author, syndicated columnist Mary Hunt, as we talk debt-proof living. We also want to talk a little bit about some of the money rules for life, how to take control of your financial future. I'd love to have you join the conversation, too. Call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. More in a moment. It's Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Mary Hunt with me today. Glad to have her back on the show. Author of a number of best-selling books, including Debt-Proof Living, How to Get Out of Debt and Stay That Way. She's got the new updated version just came out from Revell. We got a couple of copies. We'll give those away here at the end of the hour. If you'd like to sign up for that, just give us a call, 877-933-2484. Or you can always connect with us online. It's myfaithradio.com. And then go to the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there, and we can interact if you have a question or a comment. And mention Mary's column that you may read, or maybe you read the blog, everydaycheapskate.com. But there's always great tips there, and you hear from, because you've been doing this column for years, and hear from listeners with all sorts of interesting ideas. And we mentioned about just some home remedies. You like to make cleaning supplies, some of those things. Any particular one that's standing out to you that's just a good tip for a home remedy?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad you asked, Neil. I was hoping you would. I have not purchased laundry detergent in probably 5, 7, maybe longer years.
Wow. You're not a bag lady,
it?
Are you? No, we're just, no, kidding.
No, and I don't hang out down at the river.
All right, good. All right.
I make my own. I make my own laundry detergent. It is better than anything that's in the stores. It is so cheap. I can do it. I figure about 3 cents a load for laundry detergent. Now, commercial is going to cost you 35 to 50 cents a load for laundry detergent. Anybody, go to my blog, everydaycheapskate.com. You'll have to search around a bit. But you will find not only a pictorial tutorial, but the exact recipe. You're going to see how the recipe has changed over the years. I've gotten it down to the cheapest, easiest, most useful. It's fantastic, and I don't buy softener products either. I use white vinegar, half cup per load in the last rinse is all it takes. My family, most of the people in my family are allergic to those softeners, you know, Bounce and all that kind of stuff. It leaves a residue in the clothes. Oh, man, this is so great. Make your own laundry detergent and use white vinegar for softening, because what makes your clothes stiff is that you've left too much detergent in them. That's what it is. So the white vinegar gets all of that out, leaves absolutely no residue of fragrance or smell at all. Beautiful, clean clothes. Amazing.
Hmm. I like it. You'll find some amazing tips, and you go to Mary's website, debtproofliving.com, or read her regular blog at everydaycheapskate.com. One of the books that you wrote a while back called 7 Money Rules for Life, How to Take Control of Your Financial Future. And I know in there you address a couple things. One of them I want to talk about is ways to widen the gap between income and expenses, because I think most of us, you know, you're well aware, I'm sure, that all the correspondence you get is that we're living paycheck to paycheck, or we're, you know, we're underwater. So how do we actually widen that gap?
Well, you know, it starts with that attitude. You have to be absolutely convinced that money in the bank is what's going to change that. Funding your own emergencies, living the debt-proof life. And it starts with, it sounds so simple, stop spending all you have. And Neil, I can't think of a better way to do that than to step out in faith. It takes faith. That's what your radio show is all about, Faith Radio. You step out in faith and say, I'm going to take the top portion of my paycheck. Even though in my heart I believe I don't have enough to live, I'm going to take the first $10 or the first 15 or the first 50 cents. If that's all the faith you have, you take it off the top and put it away in a place you cannot borrow it back or touch it, at least make it hard to get to. And you have to say, I'm going to save the first part. And then you stop living the way you've been living. See, you can't change your financial outlook unless you're willing to change your lifestyle. My mind immediately goes to eating out. You know, food has become, for some families, the second biggest expense of the month, second only to housing. And I hate to say it, there's a lot of families who their food costs have exceeded their house payment or their rent, because they're going out all the time. They're buying convenience foods. They buy prepackaged, prepared foods in the grocery store because they believe their lives are too busy. Folks, that is the best place to start making a change. You've got to do that. And I've got so many tips and help for you. If you just join us on the blog, just start doing that. You're going to change your outlook on life and realize there are so many ways that you can save. So that's how you widen that gap. You start with just a little crack, and then you make it wider and wider. And the more you find ways to stop spending money, the more excited you're going to get. I'm telling you, making your own laundry detergent could be the thing that turns the corner for you, because you're going to be so proud of yourself. You're going to say, oh, I cannot believe I do this. I've got to tell the whole world. And before you know it, you'll say, I'm not buying Windex anymore either. I'm going to make my own. I'm going to make my own this. I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to stop paying someone else to launder my husband's shirts. I'm going to learn to do this and iron them myself. It will change everything. And the wider that gap becomes, the more willing you're going to be to stop spending all that comes into your life.
Talking debt-proof living, how to get out of debt and stay that way with Mary Hunt. And we've got time for another call or two if you want to get something in at 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. The idea of just sort of telling your money where to go. I mean, that's always, I guess, the hard part, right, is to get to the point where we're the ones deciding as opposed to the emergencies deciding.
Yeah, and it's got to be a willingness to start saying no to some things. You know, and for many of us, we go, well, what do my friends think if we don't go out with them? They invite us out for pizza, or, you know, the kids have this, it might even be a church function. You know, they need 10, 15 bucks for this or that or the other thing. You know, we have to start thinking for ourselves. We got to start putting some kind of stop gaps and some measures in our lives that we're willing to say, no, we don't wish to spend our money that way. We're going to do something different. You know, we don't want our kids giving in to peer pressure, but I think a lot of times we allow peer pressure to guide the way that we're using the resources we have, and sometimes it's just not the wisest thing.
One of the areas that we've touched on before but haven't really mentioned yet is, you know, just the whole area of giving, the importance of giving some of it away, even if we're on a limited budget or that we're in maybe underwater in some ways.
Absolutely. You know, I think that's probably one of the best ways to change your attitude, because we're talking about debt-proofing our attitude. And my experience, as deeply in debt as I was and how horrible my life had gotten, it took us 13 years to pay back the $100,000 in unsecured credit card debt that I had run up. But we did it. I can tell you that it was giving and saving that turned the tide for me, because those were the two antidotes for my two biggest fears, that the demons in my life were fear and greed. I was greedy. I needed to have everything there was, just like everyone else had, and I was fearful I was going to run out of money. And giving is the antidote for greed, because when we give, it's out of a heart of gratitude that says, you know what, I may not have it all, but I have enough. I have enough to share with others who are in worse shape than I am. That just kicks the stuffing out of greed. And saving money is the antidote for fear, because money in the bank takes away that fear that I'm going to run out. So giving, so important. Even if it's only a dollar a week, start there. If that's all the faith you have, do it. And you won't believe how that's going to change your heart.
You get, I know, thousands of responses from your books and your speaking and your writing. I'm just interested in what are the responses different today than they were, say, 20 years ago when you were just beginning things?
No, it's the same. It hasn't changed. And that's just remarkable to me. I mean, I look back and think of all the economic cycles we've been through since I started this in 1992, which will be 23 years coming up in January. But, Neil, I've come to the conclusion that when the economy is great, which we've gone through some really great, great years, hot economy, you know, when things were just doing great, unemployment was way, way low, people still were going into debt because they were thinking it's always going to be this way. I can have everything I want now. Things are just going to get better, and I'll pay for it all later. My house is going to continue to appreciate. My 401k is growing like crazy. My interest rate is just fantastic. You know, I'll have it all now and pay for it later. But then we've had some real downturns as well. I mean, I think of the years after 2007, 2008, as we headed into the Great Recession, which we're having such a hard time coming out of. People were hurting, and people were way over their heads, and they kept going deeper in debt because they believed they just couldn't live without doing that. And so the response is always the same. I can have it all now, pay for it later. But the driving force and the reason to do it is what has changed, but actually doing it. And so it's just been the joy of my life to see how people's lives have changed as they have changed that one part of their attitude. And honestly, I think I probably led hundreds of thousands of people out of debt in these years. And I'm so grateful for that because it is a lasting attitude and change of heart that will now hold people in good stead. As we don't know what the future holds, but I can tell you, if you will stay out of debt, if you will be willing to make paying off your home so that you don't have a mortgage anymore, part of your debt-proof plan, which for me it really is, and I'm happy to say, can I make an announcement?
Sure.
As of January 31st this year, 2014, my husband and I have made a decision to relocate out of California. And on that day, we closed escrow on our new home in the state of Colorado. We paid all cash for it, Neil, every dime. It's not a hovel. It's a wonderful, beautiful home that God has prepared and provided for us, and we paid cash for it. So you can see that there is a payoff here. I scrimp and save like crazy in the areas that doesn't matter, like laundry detergent and the car I drive. There's some things that matter as long as they work and the results are great so that we can spend and have a future that is not going to be debt-ridden with a mortgage. We will head into retirement someday without having any mortgage at all. I can't tell you how grateful I am for that. And that's the kind of future available to anybody who's willing, you know, to take this thing serious and do something about it.
And you'll look good driving that Silverado in Colorado, too, won't you?
And we're taking it with us. Honest, truly, we are. It's not four-wheel drive, and I know we're going to have a little snow. We'll deal with that later. But that truck, I'm telling you, it's almost a symbol to me. Every time I look at it, I almost start crying out of gratitude for what it means.
Good. Mary, just we got about 60 seconds left. Just maybe a word about what people find online. I know that you know there's subscriber opportunities as well. Just to give a little summary, resources available.
Sure, and I want people to know that this is perfect timing because we're going to be. I'm doing some webinars, live webinars, introducing people to debt-proof living, teaching them some of these principles, and there's one on August the 14th. Thursday evening, August the 14th at 9 p.m. Eastern. Go to debtproofliving.com, and there is a link there where you can sign up. It's absolutely free, but you do need to RSVP. So I would love to have listeners of your show join us August the 14th, 9 p.m. Eastern. You do need to RSVP at debtproofliving.com. And then also go over to everydaycheapskate.com, which is my blog. If you just want to subscribe to that, I'll show up in your email box every morning, which is another way that'll kind of keep you on track. We'll have a lot of fun together. Also, debtproofliving.com is a membership site. People who are serious about changing their lives can join that. It's really cheap. It's so cheap. $39 a year, not a month, a year, folks. That's all it is. A place where you can put all of these principles to work. Find a whole community of people who are on their journey to financial freedom, debt-proofing their lives.
You'll get some good encouragement from Mary Hunt, who always encourages us every time she's on with us. Always appreciate the opportunity to connect with her once again. The book, Debt Proof Living, How to Get Out of Debt and Stay That Way, that's one of her most recent ones, re-released from Rebel and updated, refreshed. And you can, of course, find more online, debtproofliving.com or the blog, everydaycheapskate.com. Mary, blessings to you. That was good to talk with you.
Oh, thank you, Neil. Same to you.
You're listening to Connecting Faith. You can always check out the podcast online, myfaithradio.com.